Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Let's follow along. When the Lord your God cuts off the nations whose land the Lord your God gives you, and you dispossess them and settle in their cities and in their houses, you shall set aside three cities for yourself in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God gives you to possess. You shall prepare the roads for yourself and divide into three parts the territory of your land, which the Lord your God will give you as a possession, so that any manslayer may flee there. Now this is the case of the manslayer who may flee there and live when he kills his friend unintentionally, not hating him previously. As when a man goes into the forest with his friend to cut wood, and his hand swings the axe to cut down the tree, and the iron head slips off the handle and strikes his friend so that he dies, he may flee to one of these cities and live. Lest the avenger of blood pursue the manslayer in the heat of his anger and overtake him because the way is long, and take his life, though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated him previously. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall set aside three cities for yourself, and if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, just as he has sworn to your fathers, and gives you all the land which he promised to give your fathers, if you carefully observe all this commandment which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways always, then you shall add three more cities for yourself besides these three. So innocent blood will not be shed in the midst of your land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and blood guiltiness be on you. But if there is a man who hates his neighbor and lies in wait for him and rises up against him and strikes him so that he dies and he flees to one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and take him from there and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. You shall not pity him, but you shall purge the blood of the innocent from Israel, that it may go well with you. You shall not move your neighbor's boundary mark, which the ancestors have set in your inheritance, which you shall inherit in the land that the Lord your God gives you to possess. A single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. If a malicious witness rises up against a man to accuse him of wrongdoing, then both the men who have dispute shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who will be in office in those days. And the judges shall investigate thoroughly, and if the witness is a false witness, and he has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him just as he had intended to do to his brother. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. And the rest will hear and be afraid, and you will never again do such an evil thing among you. Thus you shall not show pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand, foot for foot. Or actually, better read, your eye for eye, your tooth for tooth, your hand for hand, your foot for foot. Okay, amen. So we have this really incredible charge from Moses, and he calls it the city of refuge. It's quite an amazing title. This was, in the ancient time, what they call Goelism. It's G-O-E-L-I-S-M, and it's still practiced today in the Middle East, and amongst the tribal peoples and whatnot. And it was a simple idea: if any of your kinsmen were killed, you as a kinsman, in other words, as a relative, you had the legal right to kill that person. No questions asked. No jury, no trial, no due process, no nothing. You just had an inalienable right to exact revenge. That was the code of the Middle East or the ancient East in this time. And like I said, it still exists to this day in some cultures, especially some of the nomadic cultures. And so now you have Moses now. And as Moses is charged with doing to regulate these kinds of things, but he says, you're going to go into these lands. You got to understand the one part, the blessing. And actually, you could read it and miss it. He says that I'm going to bless you, and so you're going to have so much that you can set aside three cities for this specific purpose. I mean, that's pretty amazing. In other words, God's, I'm just going to bless you so much. And then look what he says later on. And then, if you look, verse 9, if you carefully observe all this commandment which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways always, and you shall add three more cities for yourself besides these three. Doesn't this sound like Jesus is teaching on the talents? It says, you're faithful, I'm going to give you 10 cities. And so we see that there's this correlation with faithfulness, with fidelity, with loving God. And says, and he says, in just paraphrase, it says, God says, you do your part. God says, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to bless you. And so you're going to have three cities. You continue to follow the Lord. Man, I'm going to give you three more cities. And this is just the fullness of God's blessing. This is pretty amazing, but that's not the main point. So remember, the Moses and his whole way of he's trying to preserve a people unto God by which the Messiah will come forth, Jesus. And so he regulates everything. And there's a couple important points why he does that. He is refining the ancient tradition, number one. But he's also relaying the message. And when we talked about this, remember when we went through the book of Leviticus, he's relaying the message that the Lord is God of all. Remember when we did Leviticus, in the same passage, Moses talks about blood, what you do with blood. And then he tells you in the same passage how to wash pots and pans. And you remember those things? And the whole point of all this is that God, he is the God of the big things, of the sacred, ceremonial, religious, ritual rites and all these things. But he's also the God of the little things, of how you wash your pots and pans. He's God of all. And God should be in every sphere of our life. And this really, the Hebraic mindset really goes countercultural with our current modern Christian mindset, which is compartmentalization. And so what we do is we have a God of Sunday, maybe a God that if you're faithful to your finances, God of our finances, but he's not a God of our relationships. And we keep him outside of the dating arena of our hearts. And so this is such a contrast to the Hebrew mindset, which is God is Lord of all. Big stuff, and even the little stuff of how to wash your pots and pans. And so he is now regulating an ancient tradition. And so this is what he says. He's refining it. He's making it more just and more fair. It's more righteous. So the ancients, you hurt my family. I'm a kinsman. I have a legal right to kill you with the impunity. I mean, no punishment, no nothing. No trial, no jury. Boom. I can just do it. I can exact my revenge. And then Moses says, no, there are certain cases by which you cannot do that. And now we're introduced to the term of manslaughter or manslayer in this case. It's interesting that even in our modern criminal courts, we've still kept this term of manslaughter. I mean, you know, to be honest, manslaughter sounds worse than murder. Murder, okay, but manslaughter? But it's this ancient word that they've used, and it comes all the way back from this Mosaic law. And the manslaughter is basically this. You accidentally killed somebody, and he gives an example. You're out in the woods, you know, you're cutting a tree, and then your axe, the axe head falls off, which was very common during this time, and it kills your friend. But you're like, you had no ill will to this person. It says in those cases, it's considered manslaughter. Now, they're dealing with a lot of different cultures, okay, in this way. And so they're coming to this new land. And so these new rules are going to supersede these cultures. And he says, set aside three cities of refuge. This actually, if you read the story of the Reformation, Calvin and Zwingli and all these Swiss reformers, they really touched upon this thing, and they created cities of refuge all over Switzerland with Geneva, or Geneve, how the Swiss would say, is particularly a very big one there. And so, I mean, you could read in the history in any case. And so, what happens here in these cities of refuge is that, number one, they can't be, like, super far away, because if a person that commits manslaughter is on his way to the city of refuge, and the commandment, it's not so explicit, but the commandment here was to create very good roads. He says create roads in it. And so they had a very clear path. They had to be very well directed. In other words, signs need to come up. And at every juncture, left turn, right turn, or whatever that case may be, you had to have the sign Mekaleth, Mekaleth, which meant refuge, refuge. And so everyone knew that this was city of refuge. So it's like gave warning to the person seeking refuge, but also gave warning to the people looking for these manslayers. But interesting, he says, well, someone may be on the way, and if they're on the way and they get killed by a hot-tempered relative, notice there's no criminal injunction for that person. In other words, the relative that does that, well, I mean, kind of too bad. You should have ran faster or something. But the way that it's laid out there is that he says, make sure the cities are not too far away. Don't put them like way out in the boonies, but create a space so that they're easy to get to. And if you follow God and God enlarges and blesses you, add three more cities. And so these would not necessarily be central locations, but it would be just kind of outside of these central locations. But in a way, because he says very clearly, mark out the territory. So if you were doing urban planning, you would get a plot of land, and you would just strategically place these things that they were easy to get to. And the roads and the signs had to be very well, very accessible to these people. And it says, and so this is the law. This is by which I want you to do it, which is, if you think about it, is very, very fair. In the ancients, in how they did this before, yeah, there's no trial, there's no jury. I mean, there's nothing. You just exact revenge, and that's it. And thus, another family can say, let's say a guy, person A kills person B on accident, is manslaughter. And then person B's family kills person A. Person A's family thinks that's an unjust killing, and then they go out, it just goes on and on and on and on. And you can see how feuds begin to operate in this kind of setting. A famous one in the United States, some of you guys may have heard, is the Hatfields and the McCoys. It's a very southern, you guys probably don't know what that is, but in any case. But that's just generation after generation after generation of feuding and of exacting revenge. And it gets to the point where people even don't know why they're fighting, but it's just honoring our family blood and so on and so forth. And so he says, you do this. Now, granted, let's say there's a person and he intentionally, what we would consider first-degree murder, he intentionally kills somebody, and he seeks refuge. No, he says, kick him out. And so the rulers of these cities had a duty before the Lord and before other men that they were the gatekeepers. They brought people into this place of refuge, and then they also omitted people from the place of refuge. It was found that if this was a malicious act. And now the city of refuge that's laid out here is now, in many settings, is now become a little more elaborate. And the refuge and kind of the model that Switzerland took in many ways was that they just welcome anyone who is a refugee. And that's where the term refugee came from. That they were seeking asylum or seeking rest from undue persecution. And so it's amazing. You see a lot of these things that are in our laws today are actually coming all the way back from the Mosaic Law. It's quite interesting to see how exact and how just the Mosaic Law was, so much so that we've incorporated many of these things, especially many of our cultures that come from a much more Judeo-Christian background, like the United States and other countries in that regard. Okay, so that's the city of refuge. I mean, we talked about this way before as well. And then he says, now here's laws for landmarks and for testimony. And so he's continuing on in giving a supplemental I guess, revisions in some way. And so there's a law of landmark. And just for fairness sake, now, back in these days, there wasn't like a city planner. There wasn't an escrow office or I don't know what they call it here. You know, what was the place where you get your stamp duty and all that kind of stuff. And so the territories were simply marked with shrubs, really shrubs. Sometimes there was like a little creek or someone would dig up a little trench and put some water on it. And that would pretty much be, this is my land, this is your land, but this is the land that God had given them. And some people unscrupulously were filling in the trenches with dirt and then remarking their territory. And Moses says, no, you shall not do that. That is wrong. And so there's the law of a landmark. And then it's the law of testimony. And again, goes back to the witness of two or three. Not one, but two or three. And just to make sure, because the whole idea of bearing false witness, which is one of the commandments, is so grievous. And even in our modern court system, well, I don't really know about a lot of other cultures, but since I'm American, I know that one of the worst things you can do is put an innocent man in jail. And there is a saying in the United States court system that they would rather have 100 guilty men not go to jail than to have one innocent man go to jail. And so you could see that the rationale or the idea of this is very much tilted towards the innocent in this regard. And the worst thing you can do is put an innocent man in jail or blame an innocent man in this context. And he says here that if you do that and you're found to falsely accuse or blame someone, then whatever punishment that was to be exacted on the individual you're accusing, you will receive that punishment. And thus you will blot out the evil in all of Israel. That's amazing. I mean, you know, in all honesty, I know that this sounds very vengeful, but man, we should have this law back because it's so easy to accuse somebody. I think of like professional athletes that are accused of rape and all these things, and then they're found out that it's not true at all, that the person just wanted to have money and, you know, and all these crazy things, and nothing happens to these people. That's messed up, man. They ruin someone's life, ruin someone's reputation, and I mean, it's horrible. And then it's just like, oops, I made a mistake. You know, I don't know if I share this, but man, I have a friend of mine who is a minister, and he was accused of molestation, and it wasn't true. And his life was ruined. I mean, it's just crazy. And what happens to these guys that, you know, in their brokenness, do all these things and nothing? It's messed up, man. I mean, his life, he's no longer in ministry. He still, you know, walks around with a lot of shame, unfortunately. And, I mean, it's just crazy how that works. And, you know, I'm not trying to be vengeful or something like that. But man, it's so easy to falsely accuse people, and I think we got to be really, really careful of that. And maybe, you know, maybe I'm speaking more out of my own experience because, you know, I'm experiencing some of that, and man, it's pretty hurtful, you know, especially when you know it's not true, and you deal with that, and it's like, man, there should be some punishment for that. I know that's my vengeance coming up. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine, declares the Lord. And so I'm just going to let it go. Let me see. So verse 21, thus you shall not show pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now notice that this this statement or this saying is in relation to one aspect. And this is where people make mistakes, where the Jews made mistake. They turn this into a blanket statement for all offenses. But notice that he says here that the context of this is someone who deals and accuses someone falsely, then that person will be given the same punishment that of who you're accusing. And in that context, he says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and so on and so forth. So it's not meant to be this blanket statement upon everything that happens, but unfortunately, people begin to misread the law, and that's basically what it becomes. And when that happens, it basically becomes the rule of the ancient Near East, of what's happening already, and it's not kind of the codified laws, the revised laws, or I should say the better stated laws that Moses gives. And what happens, they revert into the culture around them, which is always a huge mistake because we're always meant to be countercultural. Okay? All right, let's close our eyes. So we dealt with goalism. Okay? Goalism. Now, so Jesus' understanding that the laws were really messed up, and it's really dark in here, man. The laws are really messed up, and thank you. In this regard, so what does he do? He says, from the ancients you were told, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, etc., etc., etc. And he says, but no, I tell you, love your enemies. Forgive those who persecute you. Turn the other cheek. If someone asks you to go a mile, go 2 miles. And Jesus really, what he's really doing, he's codifying again the laws that lost their way in essence because they were taken out of context. And now he brings it into the proper context of grace, of forgiveness. You know, over this summer, I met with Dr. Kraft, and I had an inner healing session with him. And we were just talking about a lot of different things. And I was just sharing with him some of the stuff was going on. And, just sharing, I'm angry about a few things. And he looked at me, and this is what he said. He said, Sam, you have a right to be angry. You have an absolute right to be angry. But don't keep that anger because it'll kill you. So talking about falsely accused, there are probably as many of us here in the sanctuary or listening online, that you may be going through a situation where you're being slandered, your reputation is being tarnished, all kinds of things at work, at home, in relationships, even maybe in church. And I'll say the same thing to you that Dr. Kraft said to me. It's okay to be angry. You have a right to be angry. But you continue to keep that anger, it'll destroy you. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? It says, be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil a foothold. And so I want to encourage you to release those people that may be hurting you. Just give them to God. Give up your right to be angry. Even give up your right to be hurt. Hurt is just the PC term for I'm angry. It's the Christianese term. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning to just release. And using the text today, find that city of refuge for yourself, that place of God's presence. Thank you.
center. Be my hope and be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails.
Let's pray this morning. If you need to forgive somebody, please do. Forgive because He's forgiven us. If you need to let go of your anger towards somebody, it could be your family, your mom, your uncle who wronged your family. It could be an old colleague of yours. Will you just let go? It could be a house church member. It could even be a pastor. Hopefully it's an old pastor. But just let go. And just ask Holy Spirit to help you. Let's pray this morning. Thank you. Let's go to our community prayer focus, and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word to really manifest, and let's pray that God would just bring grace to the whole family as they battle together. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that is ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. You know, sometimes when we pray, we look through this list, and sometimes it can be very daunting and wondering if there's any effect happening. And I want to tell you, God's doing something. You know, we heard from some people that the cancer has stopped, right? It hasn't grown, and God's really doing amazing things in their families. And so I just want to just continue to encourage you that when we pray, that His word does not return void, that God does something. When we soak people in our prayers and we're just faithful to do it day in and day out, God moves. And so just be encouraged to continue to pray. And so let's just lift up our friends here. Let's pray for our community that is battling non-cancer-related illnesses. Let's just continue to lift up. If I could ask you to pray for my son as well, Andrew, he's had a fever for the last 3 days. I think I'm going to take him to the doctor or the hospital today. But last night he had a 39, and so it's getting on to the point where it's getting a little serious. So if you can just cover him and pray for him. But let's just continue to lift up our friends here. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Pray for good connections and contacts, and that the Lord would really provide for them during this time. Go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Let's lift up our Beijing family, Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe, and the board and all the leaders. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would just continue to bless them, give them wisdom in their services, and real protection as well. Let's pray for Jesse, who is transitioning to a new country. Let's pray for God's hand to be with her, and let's lift up the Chung family. They have one of their workers who went on a mission trip to Uganda and has malaria. And so she's actually almost dying. And so if you can lift her up, I think her name is Maria. And so she's, like I said, she's one of their workers that they work with, the Chungs. I also lift up Matt and Nate's parents and Edie Clark, and just bless the churches, the Three Self, the Underground, the International churches throughout. And let's just ask that they would just really be a blessing over China. Let's lift up. Let's pray for the board. Let's pray that God would continue to use our leaders to lead our church fiscally. And I know the audit is just about wrapping up, and pray that everything would go well in terms of all the diligence that we need to put into the audit. And we also need to add some more members, as two of our members will be resigning at the end of this year. So pray for wisdom as we select two more board members to come on. And just lift up. Let's lift up our hospitality ministries, and let's pray for our welcoming and barista. Let's really pray that we would really have a mindset that we are a family, that this is our house, and that's how we welcome our guests, all our first-time visitors here, that just like stepping into your own living room. And so let's pray that not just the welcoming team, but the whole church really embrace this kind of attitude, and that we would become the most welcoming church here in Hong Kong. And let's just really lift up. Let's pray for just connections to be made over at the bar there as well after the services. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministries. The men, they have a Monday morning prayer meeting, and also the Pure Desire group that goes on at I think it's on Monday nights. And let's just pray for Holy Spirit to continue to lead. There's a retreat coming up in mid-October, and let's pray that all the men would sign up and go. It's going to be over in Macau, and we have a guest speaker coming. It should be just a fabulous retreat. And so just pray for all the preparations, and the men would really come on board for that. Pray for the women's ministry as well, that God would really take a hold in our church, and for Yaman and Yamama, that the young adults would continue to grow in their respective groups. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our missions. Let's thank God for the Myanmar team coming back safe and sound with a lot of wonderful testimonies. Pray for our Bloom trip. They're leaving this Saturday or early morning, led by Pastor Ken and Pastor Ricky. There's 9 team members, and let's pray that they would have very, very fruitful ministry before the Lord here and really be a blessing to Grace there at Bloom. So let's lift up our Cambodia trip. And lastly, let's pray for one of our sisters. You know, EMP, like you guys that come out to EMP, this is kind of a very, I don't want to use the word fraternity, but this is a very good camaraderie amongst this group. And I really appreciate you guys that come out. And some of you guys know this is my favorite service. It's actually the favorite thing I like to do at church is to teach in the morning and pray. Our sister Grace, I hope you don't mind Grace, but you know, Grace's mom passed away this past Monday, and some of you guys would remember praying for her. And so if you just get some people, just go and just surround Grace right now. She's sitting kind of in the front here, and as an EMP family, if we can just pray for her. You know, losing our family is always very difficult, and I'm sure there's a lot of different things going on in her heart, but we just want to support her as a family, as a church family, obviously, but also especially as an EMP family. And, you know, you guys are the ones that pray, so even better. And let's just cover her. I know there's a lot of things that she needs to prepare, you know, funeral-wise and all these things. But let's just spend some time this morning. Let's just cover her. Let's just cover her whole family. Just ask for just the grace of God to come. The Bible says, comfort, oh comfort my people. He is the God of all comfort. And even though it's wonderful that her mom is with Jesus, it's sad for everyone that's left behind. And let's just cover our sister. Let's pray for her. Lord, we just thank you for the provisions in your law that always speak of mercy, God. And we just pray, Lord, that you would even extend that mercy to Grace and her whole family. Lord, in this very difficult and trying time, and that you would just administer your love, God, in such a powerful way. Father, we just commit her and her family to you. We commit ourselves to you today. Lord, come and be glorified, Lord, through us. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Feel free to continue to minister to Grace and enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. We go through chapter 20.